guy's towing something. I don't know what these are. It's a little trailer thing, but it's a tiny trapezoid on the back of this work truck that I assume just holds more tools or something. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Get out from behind this thing that's towing a trailer, because the trailer doesn't look... I'm sure it's fine. It just doesn't look super sturdy, and... Okay, this person is not passing me, so I'm getting over and around this truck, who has left its blinker on with the trailer thing, so... Big-ass 8-bit Mario Amiibo, huh? Yeah, I busted that thing out last night to see what it did. The big little Mario smashing unbreakable blocks is kind of neat, but it seems to work differently from... And maybe I just need to, like, mess with the game more and it'll be different or something, but it seems to work differently from the other Amiibo in that I didn't see, like, a way to plop that Mega Mushroom down without tapping the Amiibo to the thing. That sucks if you have to, like, keep that Amiibo around just fucking anytime you want to use it in a level. That's a shitty way to do that. They were smart about the rest of them, where it just unlocks it on a menu, and then it's like, okay, now I can use this Splatoon kid or squid. Vote to it, because I had to finish, I guess. Is not the actual word you would use here, but I had to see a conclusion to Metal Gear last night. Though certainly not the conclusion. So I spent most of my time doing that, playing through 30 and 31. I wish that the things that, well, I don't know, the things you do after 31, like having it be like harder versions of existing missions, I think is shitty. I've been told that they're actually fun. All of those missions are actually, like, fun to do without gear or without, in their harder variants or whatever, but I don't know. It's weird. On one hand, like, you know, like they could have authored new content for that stuff, but when you think about the things you do in most of the missions in that game, it's kind of repetitive anyway. It's the strength of the tools at your disposal that make it feel different and cool and slightly tweaked every time you do it. So, so maybe I'm okay with, like, doing some of those missions again. I was already kind of thinking, like, oh, it might be fun to go back into the earlier missions with, like, you know, the ability to Fulton the shit out of everything, and do all this other stuff. Like, it might actually be fun to play some of that stuff again. So maybe the idea of, like, hey, here's a hard version of this thing might not be the worst idea in the world. I don't know. I like that game a lot. It's really good. It's really good. It was interesting to see the, like, trophy details on PS4 as well, since they show the percentages of who's got what, and see that, like, something like 8% of players have seen credits at the end of that thing, or, you know, the end of the game, or whatever you want to call it. Basically, that 8% of play, 8.3% of players have gotten to where I've gotten, basically. Some of those percentages are really sad. Like, you go in there and, like, you know, games with, like, really easy or really early trophies have, like, low percentages. You're like, man, did people just fucking buy it, put it in, and then just not play it? Or is there just, like, what's the percentage of variance for, like, people that have multiple accounts on PS4 put a disc in on one account and go, oh shit, that's the wrong one, and then put it in on their real account to play it? Because that's the case of, like, oh, you wouldn't even get the first trophy you would get for playing that game if you did that, you know? PS Plus percentages are extra depressing. I mean, that's not depressing, I guess. That's just, like, I mean, I do that. But I don't even launch the games most of the time, so I don't think that necessarily adds it to my profile and counts in the percentages. But I add a lot of stuff to the library. But it's stuff like, you know, Grow Home, which I already played on the PC, and the PS4 version runs like shit. So, like, yeah, I guess I want it in my library as an option, but I'm not... That's not the version I'm going to play, so... So they give a lot of cases like that, where, you know, someone may have played a game somewhere else, and they just, you know, they're going to get it because it's, you know, that's the benefit, right? They're just like, ah, I guess I'll get this, and whatever. But, like, you know, it's one of those things that just, you know, reminds you, like, how few people finish games these days, especially the big kind of, you know, the big AAA releases, the big video games. Like, those percentages are always nuts. You're just like, man, millions of people bought this game, and then about 10% of them ever finished it, or something like that, you know? You go back and look at games that are, like, years old, where you're like, okay, you know, like, the people that bought this game in the first year have theoretically plenty of time to finish them if they cared enough about this game they would see it through to like this point. I'm not like looking at like, hey, who got the platinum trophy? Because that's stupid. But I mean, like, you go through and you look at like, you know, how many people like completed the narrative in this thing. And you wait a few years and you realize, okay, well, you know, that's crazy. It's crazy how low that stuff is. And yeah, like Call of Duty campaign, Call of Duty trophies don't even count. Because there's so many people that are never even touching the campaign. I'm actually one of them. Because I'm usually playing the campaign on, like, non-retail hardware. So by the time I get, like, a retail disc, like, I'm not playing the campaign a second time. So, or I'll start it and get, like, because I'll think, like, oh, it'd be fun to go through this again and just, like, knock out the achievements or whatever. And then I start on it. I'm like, you know what? I already saw this stuff. I'm okay. Most games you don't care enough about to see the ending. Yeah, I mean, that's certainly true. But I think, you know, I'm thinking about, like, games that are selling in the millions to people that don't necessarily buy as many games, or you don't have access to a ton of different games all the time. Like, thinking about, like, people in those sorts of situations where they might only buy the big games and then go, like, hey, you know, yeah, they don't finish it. I mean, people that are buying crazy stuff on sale and all this other stuff, like, it, you know, there are a lot of different things that can impact those numbers, I guess. Broken, so you wait for a patch and then never go back to it. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with The Witcher right now. I'm gonna have to, like, force myself to play The Witcher at some point. At some point soon here, I suppose. But it's not super high up on my list because I messed with it for a while and had a, like, kind of a negative experience, and I was like, get back to it. Sounds like the movement changes are what I'm looking for. And yeah. What if Destiny's really good now? What if they fixed Destiny? What if Destiny's great? What if this Destiny expansion is really good? What then? I actually really want to play it. I'm really curious to see that content. Like, I've screwed around with the game post-patch a little bit, and I feel like the changes they made to leveling is actually a non-change for the most part. Because I went from like 31 to 34 in that game in like an hour. And then I've gotten nothing for it. Like, I don't think my light level went up. So the light level is now a number that is like based on the average of your, you know, your damage output and defensive, like your armor rating. It's basically like your item level, you know, like you equip all this stuff and they're like, you're at 143 or 145 or whatever, and then they make recommendations based around that number. So it's like, hey, if you're gonna play this, you should probably have this, which doesn't actually change anything about the way that game is focused on gear for, you know, enabling you to do different things, which I suppose is a decision that a lot of other games make. There's usually MMOs and for raids and stuff like that, I guess, right? So it was weird to, like, go like, oh, now I'm going to level up, and then realize that, like, leveling up doesn't mean anything. There are a handful of items that, you know, have level requirements, but it seems like once you hit level 20, that's kind of it for weapons. I have one level 30 item that's like a class armor item, and then artifacts are something you could equip at level 40, and I don't actually know what artifacts are. So I feel like they kind of made a change that at least, like, makes the leveling up process feel like I can hit the level cap by playing the video game. And then they just made it so, like, the level cap doesn't matter. And I'm wondering if, like, adding the Taken King content will change that. Or if there's, like, actually been zero change. They just kind of display the numbers a little differently. So at that point, I guess, like, the meaningful change would be based on how you get the gear to raise that number. And if it turns out to be around, you know, random drops and stuff like that, then that game still has problems, right? I mean, that's the thing. Or like, hey, I need to run this thing a zillion times to grind out the strange coins to get this and this and this, and, you know, like, that's not, that doesn't sound great. But yeah, you know, they did stuff that should have been there from the start. Quest trackers and, you know, just like better menus and a better vault and stuff like that. But, you know. And hey, at least they didn't gate that stuff behind the expansion payout. Though I don't know, like, you know, I don't know who, like, who's playing Destiny right now, today. Or, you know, who's continuing to play Destiny for this, like, length of time that didn't buy that content, that didn't buy the expansions and that stuff. You know, who's going to go, like, I just want to play regular Destiny. I mean, they, you know, those people must exist in some number. I just can't imagine. There being a bulk of them. Still playing Destiny, period. I don't know. It has since launch, and that, like, it is not popular, whatever. Like, there's quite a bit of people playing it. And I'm sure there are people that have lapsed away from it that are interested in coming back. Like, I guess that's probably where I'm at, you know? Like, I played it, think it has serious problems, but the core of it has something going for it, so if they can fix the periphery to make that more interesting, they'll have a pretty cool game on their hands. I've heard good things about the Taken King content, but I haven't really seen any of it for myself. I've played, like, one mission in 83. I played a mission. So, I just wonder, like, if you go look, they've added trophies for completing story missions as a Taken King subset on Destiny, for PS4. And I wonder if that is the full number of story missions that will be available in this thing. Watching the Metal Gear credits, and I saw song credits for a song. Fun watching people flip out about this, like, fake-looking countdown to sometime this afternoon for, like, Metal Gear stuff. Leaps in logic that people are making to try to connect dots on. Stuff. It's. Like, sad, but also super interesting. Ugh, nice to have one day this week that isn't fucking destroyed by traffic. Well, I mean, at least a morning. I mean, tonight remains to be seen, I suppose. Try to record a Forza quick look today. I feel very conflicted about Forza. It's a, you know, just it looks so good. And drives well, but, you know, like, the AI is still not great, you know? The racing events are all very dry. I don't know, like, it's interesting because, you know, like, they would always talk about, you know, the love of cars as the thing that drives Forza, you know, the thing that when developing that game, that's what they, that's what they shoot for, and I feel like they've gone further and further into a territory where I feel like, you know, you where they're losing the fun in a lot of ways, if you're not already into, like, just racing, you know, if you're just like, hey, I like cars, I want to do some stuff, like, you know, it's not, the side stuff's not as interesting, like, the tools are the same as they have been. You paint the cars, but now the car design stuff is relegated to just like, hey, here's some recommended designs. You can dig in and find more, I guess, if you want. But, you know, hey, here's like 6 or 10 or whatever that we pulled at random. And you don't even really get to spin around the car and preview them because we're loading a 2D image of the car with the, you know, where you can't really see the side of the car super well to see what the design actually is. I miss the auction house. Like, that was kind of silly for, you know, for a few reasons, too, but the idea that you would, like, I'm going to spend my credits on getting this sick Pringles logo for the side of my car, I thought that was cool as hell. And, you know, it doesn't have that anymore, and that's fine. More people have access to the cooler designs and they don't have to go bid it up or spend auction dollars on, you know, or whatever, so, okay. But it's just, you know, the thing feels like a car brochure, you know, it's got this, like, very dry kind of just menu treatment, and, like, the love of cars feels like it's missing. Like, the joy of it, I guess. Like, there's a reverence for cars. It's a holy temple for cars. But, you know, even when they get a little bit out of the norm, like, they're still, like, slapping the Top Gear logo on it. Even though, I guess, like, does that show even exist anymore? Like, no, right? It's still like, hey, if you want to drive over bowling pins, come into the Top Gear area. Hey, you can race against the Stig. And like, man, you guys must have been super fucking bummed out when that show blew up, huh? Because damn. But the AI, the Drivatars, I think are gutless in a lot of sense. You know, obviously, you know, you can set the difficulty, but I can't find a sweet spot. I can't find the sweet spot with the Forza difficulty settings that makes it challenging in a fun way. It's either I'm in first or second place, or I'm at the back of the pack. Like, there's at some point, the settings aren't quite granular enough. Or something. I don't know. I haven't played a ton of it, but I also haven't wanted to play a ton of it. Like, the career progression seems like it really kind of just locks you in, and, you know, it gives you choices. Like, hey, there are these six different car types you can take into this next set. Like, pick which one you want to use. I think their open wheel stuff feels good. Like, the sense of speed, you know, like the technical end of you know, the visual end of it, and what they're doing with the controller and just the feel of driving, I think, you know, it's never been better. Like, they hone that all the time, and it's, that stuff's great. It really is. But I'm not really enjoying racing against their AI at all. I wonder if, like, they felt more comfortable pushing further in that direction and kind of taking this approach because Horizon exists. And it's like, hey, Forza Horizon is if you're looking for the fun Forza. Forza Motorsport is if you want to drive around Brands Hatch or whatever, which is just something about the... It's a place, right? Brands Hatch. It's like a... It's one of the tracks. Something about it just sounds filthy. Feeling it feels dirty. Brands Hatch. I don't know why. But yeah, Forza feels, yeah, sterile is a decent word for it. It's just like, here's this smooth woman talking to you on the menu as you go from thing to thing for the first time to properly onboard you and tutorialize you through the process of playing this video game. Now you'll get to choose a car. Rivals mode is where you get to blah, blah, blah. You know, it's all very... clean. It's very clean. Can I make this light? Yes, I can. Okay, good. Ooh, just barely though. like I there are great things about Forza, you know, and it's cool that someone is out there still dedicating themselves to, let's make cars look fucking awesome on a console. You know, that was the graphical, you know, for the PC it was colored lighting and rocket launchers and frame rates, and for consoles it was cars until it became, you know, sweat on basketball players or whatever. And driving games just aren't the same as they used to be. There aren't as many of them. It's just not. And they've all, you know, that kind of jack of all trades, middle of the road racing game doesn't quite exist in bulk anymore. And I'm really interested in seeing what Need for Speed ends up being. Because that's kind of what they're trying to do with that thing. And I wonder if any of that will be any fun at all. I'm not convinced. Like, I played it at E3. It looks nice, but the, you know, they just kind of said, like, here's a multiplayer thing. Like, ah, 6 or 7 of you are going to get in there. And it was like, do whatever you want, and you will earn points. And at the end of this session, we will determine who got the most points. And we were all in the same game. But it was like, I could go start a race event and just do it against AI, you know? And I earned points, and I don't know if that's a mode in the game or if that's just something they built for E3, but it was weird. I didn't come away from that going like, oh, that's something I want to, that's how I want to play that game. Like, no, it just didn't, that part didn't make sense. So I want to know what the actual progression in that game is. You know, it sounds like it'll have 5 progressions, right? I mean, one for every FMV criminal in the game. Or is it only one that's a criminal? I kind of haven't been paying super close attention to that stuff, partially because I just want to be surprised. Part of me was pulling for the crew last year, and hoping that the crew would kind of fill a gap and establish, like, you know, another kind of open world, kind of, you know, multidisciplinary driving game, you know. If you really like driving games a lot, get a PC. Yeah, I mean, there's stuff, but it's all small. The stuff that I would be interested in, like, I don't, you know, Project Cars doesn't really do it for me. It's, you want to talk about dry, like, that thing is 100%. But, you know, they built a career, you know, that you start with the carts and all that stuff, like, they built a career. I'll give them that. I'd like to see another actual Ridge Racer. Instead of games trying to be Ridge Racer on Steam Greenlight. I should dig out my NegCon. NegCon? NegCon. Namco seems like another one of those companies that's trying to figure it out. Like Sega and Konami and Capcom. Kind of the new role that they can play. I mean, they've got their big console games still, but they're different than they were before in a lot of cases, you know. Like, Namco had that arcade history and, you know, the Ridge Racer, Ace Combat, Tekken. And Bandai came in and brought all the anime madness. And then I guess that, well, you know, I don't know, maybe they've got an identity. I don't know, Namco's got, yeah, the Dark Souls. But then also they're doing, like, Rise of Incarnates and they're putting out a MOBA. That, what is it? Supernova. That's them, right? That's, well, I mean, whatever Namco is now. Branching out, seeing if they can figure out some free-to-play stuff and all that. Pac-Man 256. I just want Dig Dug. I just want, like, a new a Dig Dug Act Zero, an edgy, dark take on the Dig Dug fiction. Taizo Hori has to get out there and deal with some motherfucking pukas. Tower of Draga MMO, you know? Take that big, you know, six-player Galaxian thing they did and turn it into a VR game. Or alternately, just like, you know, let me get a good, high-quality Mappy t-shirt. With the Mappy logo, and then Mappy, also. Yeah, Mr. Do's got... Who the fuck even owns the rights to Mr. Do now? Shit. Who the fuck owns the rights to Mr. Do? Hey Siri, who owns the rights to Mr. Do? You're not gonna know.
I found an article about rights. Shall I read it to you?
No, that's okay.
I don't know what you mean by, no, that's okay.
Universal published Mr. Do, but I don't think it's Universal, like, the pictures. I think it was a different company called Universal. And what were they? What did they turn into? Hey, Siri. Tell me about Mr. Do, the video game. Wild Ride. Namco should just come out with a game and call it Dig Dug 3. Or no, they should call it The Real Dig Dug 2, because fuck Dig Dug 2. That should be the subtitle. Dig Dug 2, colon, because... The Real Dig Dug 2, colon, because fuck Dig Dug 2. What's this bus doing? What'd it do, bus? Come on. Fuck. Oh, is it Otterze? I'm actually scrolling back here a little bit. That somehow makes sense. Hamster, huh? Hamster owns Mr. Do? Damn. I don't think I would ever actually do this, but if I were building a short list of things I would consider getting as a tattoo, Puka from Dig Dug might be on that list. It's not very tough. I mean, maybe, you know, you do like a tough take on Puka. And not, like, the sprite from the game, I don't think. You know, it's, like, maybe, like, the side art from the cabinet. Like, there's some good Pukas out there. Official and otherwise. If you're looking for unofficial Pukas, they exist. I'm here, so I gotta go. Have a good Friday. I'll see you later. No, I did not say, hey, Siri. Damn it.